This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast. You are already using workflows, you just don't know it yet. I'm your moderator, Jack Racinto of Vetter Press. Joining me today is Harriet Ubay-Vaklis, and we are delighted to have her with us. She is the Innovation Project Manager for Greenberg Taurig, and we are going to be talking about workflows and how they are best suited to your organizations and for actually automating some processes where they can. Harriet, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Absolutely.
So let's just get right into it. How do you identify what processes work best for automated work?
So I typically like to look for anything that has repeatable actions and or anything that needs to happen quickly or in rapid succession. So the vast majority of what we do in law firms especially is highly regulated. You know, the same things need to happen, steps A through Z, the same ways. For a lot of different types of law. And so anytime I'm looking for a place where workflows might work better than what people are currently using, I'm looking to identify those things where you're doing the same thing each time and it comes up frequently enough for it to matter. So if you're doing something, you know, once a year or once every 6 months, that's not necessarily a good candidate for automation. But if you're doing something on a weekly basis, or if you're doing something where you only do it once a year, but when you do it, you need to do it 200 times, those are great candidates for automation.
Thanks for that. That's really helpful. Kind of gets people to think about where they really need to put their time to look into automating workflows to make sure that they're actually using them in the proper way. So with that in mind, how do you gauge the return on investment from moving to an automated workflow?
Sure. So I typically like to look at what the net time and effort saved would be and trying to make sure that the workflow, the automated workflow, doesn't then require, you know, 15 extra steps. So if something is automated, but from the user perspective, it takes a lot of different types of things than what they've been doing previously, then the uptake of that is not going to be great, right? They're going to complain that they have to do extra steps, or it's just going to feel more difficult to them, even if the net time is saved. So that's something that you will know better after the fact. After you've automated the process, you'll be able to look back and say, this took X amount of time, and now it's been cut down by 50%. But it is important to look at user adoption and whether the users feel as though they are better off using that automated process.
That's always a great barometer, if you will, just to see how well the users are using it and whether or not they feel it's useful or it actually creates more work for them. So
yes.
I think that's a definitely good point to bring up there. So with that, what is the best way to gather the requirements for building an automated workflow?
So I like to start with a process map. I like to talk to all of the parties involved. Typically within the law firm, we have, you know, one person will come to us and say, hey, we're doing this thing. We would like some help making it more efficient. Or they'll say, we have this process that we need to do multiple times a day, a week, a month. What can we do to either speed it up or just make it flow better? And so what I'll do is I'll sit down with a number of people, and I really like to get a broad range of feedback. So if a team has, you know, 5 to 10 people, I'd like to talk to as many will make time for me, because that will allow me to see the holistic picture and put together a process map of how things look currently. From there, I'll also try to denote how much time is spent on each step. So I get a better sense of, does it make sense to try to automate, you know, steps A through C if in total they take 2 minutes? Probably not, right? If the net time saved will not be that great. But if it takes someone 30 minutes to do something and we can automate that and make them spend 2 minutes on it, then that's definitely something we want to look at. So from there, I will put together a proposed process map. And here is where I feel the biggest payoff in terms of time comes is to really interrogate each step in the proposed process map and say, do all of these still need to happen? Law has been around for a long time. Many attorneys have been practicing for a long, long time. And some of their admins have been with them for as long as they've practiced. And so here is a great opportunity to really identify, are all of these steps still necessary? And if so, is there anything we can kind of consolidate and put together? Or are there things we can cut out altogether because they made sense 10, 20, 30 years ago before everything was done electronically, and see if we can cut out some of those steps? I really want to stress looking at the holistic picture and looking at when we automate steps ABC, for example, looking at the downstream effects as well. And that's why those process maps are really going to come in handy, because you'll be able to see, you know, if we automate these steps, what will happen down the line, and what are we inadvertently messing with that's currently part of the system? So if, you know, someone relies on being CC'd on something to know when a task has been completed, we want to make sure that we don't accidentally cut that out and lose that communication thread.
I love the fact that you use the term interrogate each step. I think that's great. I think that actually fits in really well with what we're doing here. Not to jump off topic or throw you on the spot or anything like that, but do you have any tips or tricks that you'd like to share with regards to maybe keeping the users on task and making sure that they don't ask for stuff that's out of the scope of the particular workflow that you're building? Because that's probably a problem that a lot of people face when doing these things.
Yes, yes, that is such a frequently asked question in this field. So you can't really prevent people from asking those things, right? I think it's important in those instances to acknowledge the question that they're asking and to push a little bit and see what is really the problem. Sometimes people complain and say, you know, I really don't like this particular task, or I don't think that this is necessary. And in those instances, sometimes we can dig a little deeper and see, okay, it's not actually that the process needs this step, but the particular attorney that you work with wants that thing. And then we can either go to the attorney and say, hey, if you get the same information just in a slightly different format, does that work for you? And sometimes they'll say, no, I really need to have it the way that I've had it. Or they'll say, yeah, I've actually wanted something different as well. And they've just been doing things a certain way. Other times you do run into situations where something that someone wants to automate is just a function of their role. A good example of this is sometimes we have people on legal teams that are charged with chasing after attorneys to get information on time spent or getting status updates. Fundamentally, that's not really going to change, because if we set up automations that take that off of the admin's plate, but then the work gets dispersed and the time and effort increases for everyone else, that's not necessarily a better workflow. So really being honest with people and trusting them to be honest with you about what is it that they're really asking for helps you get at some of those things that you may or may not be able to do anything about, but at least finding out more about why they want to get rid of something or what they want to automate to assess that.
Thanks for the tips. Definitely the needs versus wants thing usually comes up in these kinds of discussions and is something that has to be measured very carefully. So I completely agree. So what are the major concerns when deploying the workflow?
Sure. My number one thing that I always want to make sure with automated workflows is that we're not throwing technology on top of a step that can be removed altogether. I don't believe in throwing technology on something and then saying it's now better simply because technology is involved, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that's major. That's something I look for in every single workflow. You know, are we actually making this better, or are we just involving a different type of technology that you haven't used before? The other thing I want to always keep in the back of my mind is culture and net time or effort saved. So those are kind of two different parts. Culture, some attorneys, admins, especially if you're very particular about how things get done, they don't necessarily want to change how they are doing things. And you have to know within your firm and within the team that you're working with whether or not that's actually going to go anywhere. I have found, you know, you can spend hours, days, years trying to get board. And if they don't really want to get on board, they're not going to get on board. However, there are plenty of people within the legal space that are excited for automation and for increasing efficiency where they can, cutting out, you know, email back and forth, that kind of thing. And we really get the biggest bang for our buck when we engage with those individuals. So getting a sense of the culture on the team that you're working with really helps you figure out if it's worthwhile to pursue this line with them. And if not, you know, you wish them well and you both go your separate ways. The other thing, like I said, the net time and effort saves, you just want to make sure that if you are automating something and making something more efficient for one person, that it's not negatively affecting other people. So you want to save the admin's time, but then putting extra time on the shareholder's plate or so on. So that's something, again, where those process maps really come into play is you can look at the time and who's all affected by each change.
You know, I'm really glad you brought up culture because I think that's one of the things that especially people in legal IT, you know, really struggle with a lot of times. As you said, there's a lot of legal professionals, particularly attorneys and shareholders in that case, who've been working a certain way for a long, 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 long time. And as you said, their admins have probably been with them almost as long, if not as long, as they have. And so trying to get that shift going is really difficult. And I think that one of the things that's really important with that, that you've kind of mentioned is kind of identifying those people who are willing to change, because I found personally that when you identify those, I guess you could say, culture champions who can kind of stand up and say, hey, I'm doing this, I like this, it kind of makes everybody fall into place. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And in the legal field, I think if your stance is 100% adoption, you're going to be miserable. But I think it's
where's the challenge?
It's good to celebrate that the changes that you can make and to really give the individuals who show that they're interested your time and attention.
So now I have to ask you about your opinion. What makes the workflow successful in your opinion then?
Sure. So my general stance is a workflow is a success if more or less most people, if not all, individuals within the orbit of this process and this team are better off. And that can include clients, that can include team members, that can include, you know, other relevant parties within the firm, outside of the firm, and really looking at whether or not enacting this workflow has made it easier for people to find things, easier for them to see the status of what's going on, or if it allows each individual to communicate in ways that reduces other further communication. So in my previous firm, I worked on email automation for the H-1B CAP program. And on the day where all the CAP applications were filed, all of the paralegals were able to click a box and that then sent an email to each client for who had a CAP application filed. And that reduced the number of calls that the paralegals got that ensured to the clients that, hey, yes, we filed your application. We're aware of the status of this application. And it made the client engagement, it made the clients feel as though the firm really was looking out for them. So that to me is a great success, ensuring that everyone knows what they need to know. That's so much of law is just managing some of that knowledge and communication.
That sounds like a success to me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Harriet, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. This was really informative and helpful. I think that we could actually expand on this quite a bit. So we'll have to do this again. And thank you to the audience for tuning in. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thanks.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.